Good afternoon. May it please the Court, Deputy Attorney General Leanne Brewer, appearing on behalf of the State Defendants. Thank you for the opportunity to present oral argument. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
All right. You have a clock there, but I'll also try to help you on that.
Thank you. After enactment of the Federal Welfare Reform Act, the State of Hawaii could have done nothing to replace federal Medicaid benefits that were taken away from certain aliens, including the plaintiff class. The district court below found...
What do you mean by could have done nothing?
The State of Hawaii did not have to enact a separate state-funded benefit in order to make up for the Medicaid benefits that were taken away from certain aliens.
I take it you mean then the state would have maintained the program for citizens but would have denied benefits to aliens in the class we're talking about?
Yes.
And if so, is that doing nothing, and wouldn't that be vulnerable to exactly the same claim we have here?
Yes, that's true, Your Honor. By doing nothing, I would mean that the state would not be doing anything other than complying with the Welfare Reform Act, which would have required the state to terminate benefits of federally ineligible aliens.
Well, it would have exercised its discretion affirmatively not to give benefits if it went that route, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And why wouldn't we have exactly the same argument we have here? Because at that point, the state would be discriminating between citizens and the aliens in this category.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand your question.
You're willing to pay Medicaid for a citizen. You're not willing to pay Medicaid for a non-citizen from the Marshall Islands. Why doesn't that present a vulnerability to exactly the same argument we have here, in that you're discriminating against these aliens?
Well, the discrimination, if there is any, is by the federal government. When the federal government makes a classification based on alienage, which it is definitely empowered to do, then that classification would be subject to only rational basis review. And the state...
But it's not the federal government that's making the decision not to fund for those people. I mean, Congress may have handed the states a lit firecracker that's going to explode in their faces, because the premise of the plaintiff's argument is that Congress doesn't have the power to authorize this kind of discrimination. And so it seems to me that what you define as if the state did nothing, we'd be okay. I'm not sure that's true. If the state did nothing, if the state did not reach into its own pocket and fund the benefits while at the same time it was paying benefits, albeit with financial assistance from the federal government to citizens, why wouldn't you have exactly the same arguments that we have here today?
Well, because in that case, then, this court had already determined in Pimentel, the classification was made by the federal government, and the individuals who were excluded from the federal program and then would become the beneficiaries of any voluntary state program that the state might decide to provide would not be similarly situated.
But your participation in Medicaid is a voluntary program by the state. The federal government is not compelling you to participate in that program.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so once you choose to participate in that program, doesn't the Equal Protection Clause force you to fund aliens in the same way?
No, Your Honor. The state voluntarily participates in federal Medicaid and must comply with the federal requirements, which include covering only those individuals that Medicaid says they can cover, and also complying with the Federal Welfare Reform Act, which says that they cannot cover certain aliens and they have to cover certain aliens and they may have discretion on some others. But when they're complying with the federal requirements, then they're not discriminating against anyone. They are just merely complying with the federal directive.
Well, let's take it to what they really did do, which was they affirmatively instituted a program that gave COFA and some others less benefits, correct?
Initially, following the implementation of the Welfare Reform Act, what the state of Hawaii did was what the state of Washington did with respect to food stamps. They provided the equivalent benefits to the COFA residents, the plaintiff class. So those individuals were actually receiving the same level of benefits
right.
as Medicaid.
We wouldn't be here if you, meaning the state of Hawaii, had stuck with that plan.
Yes. But at some point in time, Washington terminated their state-funded benefits, and Hawaii reduced their state-funded benefits by implementing the Basic Health Hawaii program.
The there are similar cases that have gone on around the country. In Seattle, and I'm talking not now about the food stamps and the program that was in Pimentel and the SNAP program, but actual this POWRA, or however it's pronounced, benefits. And there was some suggestion in the pleadings that, given this national health care reform, that it may actually give these groups of aliens benefits, and that there's a settlement and a mediation going on in that case. Do you have a position as to whether the new health care law, as considered by the Supreme Court, would have an effect on benefits here? And then secondly, has this case gone to any kind of mediation?
I'll address the second question first. This case has not gone to any sort of mediation. With respect to the impact of the Affordable Care Act, my understanding is that many of these aliens would be able to participate in the exchanges to the same extent as other individuals. Medicaid is still intact under the Affordable Care Act, and Medicaid will still be subject to restrictions as a federal program, including the exclusion of certain aliens from that program. The plaintiff class in this case would not become eligible for Medicaid once the Affordable Care Act is implemented. And I don't believe that it's not affected by any Medicaid expansion that might result from that act either.
What about the Finch case out of Massachusetts, which basically said under the Equal Protection Clause of the Massachusetts Constitution that it should be strict scrutiny, and it didn't pass strict scrutiny? What's the difference between that case and this case, if any?
The difference between the Commonwealth Care Program in Massachusetts and what Hawaii has is that the Commonwealth Care Program was a state program that covered all individuals, all residents, up to 300% that were not eligible for Medicaid. So that included citizens as well as aliens.
Is there any portion of the Commonwealth program that was funded by the federal government?
No. Well, it's actually an interesting situation. What Massachusetts did is their Commonwealth Care program became part of their Section 1115 waiver. And the Section 1115 waiver is the waiver under which Massachusetts operates its Medicaid program, which is known as MassHealth. And the MassHealth portion of it, the Medicaid portion of it, would be eligible for federal matching funds. But for all of the federally ineligible folks, whether they were citizens or aliens, if they were a citizen over the Medicaid income limits or if they were aliens who were excluded from federal Medicaid, they would get benefits through Commonwealth Care. And the Commonwealth Care part of it for any non-federally eligible individuals was funded entirely by the state. So what happened in the Finch case was Massachusetts at some point in time determined that they needed to save money, and so they made a change to Commonwealth Care, cut out only the aliens from the state-funded portion of the program. So when they cut out the aliens, they left the citizens, for instance, an over-income citizen, in Commonwealth Care. And that was a distinction based on alienage made by the state. It was not imposed by the federal government. And on that basis, they found that the state had discriminated, and therefore it was subject to strict scrutiny. And that was correct.
What is that different?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
How is that different? The federal government is not saying you cannot provide coverage to the COFA plaintiffs. So how is this case different from that? The state made a judgment at one point in time to provide coverage and at a different point of time not to provide coverage. How is this different?
The difference is that when the state of Hawaii was providing these state-funded benefits for the COFA residents, it was not providing a similar benefit for non-federally eligible citizens. The only other citizens...
It was providing the same Medicaid benefit to everyone. It was being funded in part from Washington, but the benefit in the program was the same, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, the benefit that was being provided to the aliens?
Was exact until the point in time when Basic Health Hawaii was adopted, the benefit was provided to aliens was exactly the same benefit that was being provided to the lawful aliens and the citizens. Now, the lawful aliens and citizens bills were being paid in part by Washington, and the COFA category not, but the program was the same and the benefits were the same, weren't they?
The benefits were the same, but as I stated, the federal program is the program that excluded the aliens. It's the Congress
that excluded from funding. But this isn't the category of unlawful residents where Congress said you can't give them benefits. We're not fighting about them. We're fighting about a category, if I understand correctly, that Congress said you may or you may not. It's up to you, state. So I'm not sure how I understand that's a federal dictate.
No, they may or may not with respect to state-funded benefits. With respect to the federal benefit, they absolutely couldn't. Then,
well, the federal government wouldn't fund it, but that isn't the same as saying state you can't. State can, and state did for many years, provide benefits to this category.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that the state could provide state-funded benefits to this alien population.
And now that they've elected not to provide the same benefits, how is that not discrimination based on alienage?
Because there are no similarly situated individuals.
Are there individuals that are non-immigrant and fall into the discretionary category that are not funded under this partial plan? In other words, the state is funding reduced benefits for COFA and maybe some others, but is there also another group of aliens that the state chose not to provide discretionary benefits for?
Under the Basic Health Hawaii program?
Yes.
There may be other aliens. I'm not sure.
Well, would it matter? In other words, when you look at all that, the big statute, and it says, yes, you must give it to citizens. Yes, you must give it to qualified aliens. No, you may never give it to essentially undocumented aliens. And then you may give it to all this other list of non-immigrant people who, there's a kind of a laundry list of people who are non-immigrants. So my question is Hawaii making a distinction and discriminating between COFA and then other groups of non-immigrants who might be eligible?
There may be that distinction. Basic Health Hawaii covers...
Yes or no?
If there are other aliens outside of the category of COFA residents and the new residents who are not part of this appeal, then, yes, those folks would be excluded.
But nobody that would be... This group isn't disadvantaged. There's not a group in that category that receives more benefits than...
No.
So what you're not sure of is whether there might be a group that would have a separate complaint but receive less benefits.
Yes. Your Honor, I have less than 2 minutes. May I... Thank you.
You may reserve that.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court. I'm Paul Alston, representing the COFA residents in this case. Superficially, it might appear that we face a rock and a hard place. We face the Pimentel decision on one hand and the Soskin decision from the Tenth Circuit on the other, but that is not correct. In fact, the Pimentel case is strong support for our position in this case, and I say that for a number of reasons. First, in Pimentel, this Court said that the Welfare Reform Act does not create a uniform federal policy. Unlike the SNAP program that was at issue there, the Welfare Act does not. And this Court went on in Pimentel in footnotes 12 and 13 to distinguish a variety of decisions, state decisions, including the Finch case from the Massachusetts Supreme Court, the Ehrlich case, Aliesa from the New York Court of Appeals, all of which determined that the kind of discrimination engaged in by the state of Hawaii was in fact illegal because it was not founded upon any uniform federal policy. And what we face here is a situation where the state has in fact targeted not all aliens, but just narrowly focused groups of aliens from the COFA countries.
Okay, Counselor, you've referred to the fact that we don't have a uniform policy here. If that is true,
right,
that is a failing in the Welfare Reform Act, isn't it? That's a failing in Congress's part in terms of what it told the states they could or couldn't do.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily – I wouldn't call it a failing.
They accepted their invitation.
Right. I won't call it a failing. I mean, it reflects, in fact, Congress's determination that each state was able to set its course, but without – but not sanctioning discrimination. There's nothing in – unlike the SNAP program where the – or the AFDC program where the federal government said you must cover these people.
But you're – as I understand your contention, you're not contending that Hawaii has somehow violated the Welfare Reform Act.
No.
So it hasn't been anything inconsistent with what Congress said. Now, Congress gave it some fairly broad license.
Indeed.
And Hawaii has stepped in and done it in a particular – the way that's peculiar to Hawaii because of Hawaii's unusual situation here with respect to the COFA plaintiffs.
Right. But when Congress left the state's broad license, I submit that to some degree, as Judge Clifton indicated, they handed the states a lit firecracker because at that point the question becomes whether the state can discriminate based simply on the existence or the non-existence of a federal subsidy against certain aliens who the federal government has said they may cover.
Well, the question I have is kind of how do you draw the breadbox? Because if you say that Congress has made some distinctions between and among aliens, and it did that in terms of – so that's – and those aliens range from undocumented to qualified to a whole other group. So it's made those distinctions, and then it's made a further distinction as to what it wants to fund. And it's made a decision that with this, let's call them a smaller group, which is your group, this smaller group of aliens, that it's not going to require funding, and it's not going to prohibit it, but it's made a category that maybe those aliens fall in a different status. Why isn't that, in effect, a uniform federal policy, which is our policy is A, B, and with respect to C, we're going to leave this narrow discretion to the states?
Well, two things, Your Honor. One is, I think, as Pimentel says, the Welfare Reform Act reflects no uniform policy. But secondarily, even if you view that as allowing the states some discretion, the question is, has Hawaii exercise that discretion in a way which is consistent with the teachings of Graham versus Richardson? Graham teaches that where there is no uniform policy, that
– Well,
what is this even why – Go ahead.
No.
I'm actually going to take a different line, so
– I mean, I'm not sure why – your premise is that to get to the rational basis, we need to accept your premise that this categorization with respect to this part of the Welfare Reform Act is not a uniform policy, correct?
You need to determine that. That would be true. But beyond that, I think that we are then faced with a situation where Congress in 8 U.S.C. 1622 said that the state could extend benefits to a variety of different groups, including non-immigrants and a laundry list of others. The state of Hawaii has chosen, and this is reflected in the administrative rules, to extend benefits to a wide range of the people on that laundry list.
Mm-hmm.
It has singled out the COFA residents, people from the disfavored countries, for special unfavorable treatment, saying you don't get any benefits as long as you are in Hawaii, no matter whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or a lifetime. That sort of discrimination is not supported by any sort of congressional policy.
Who are the COFA residents disfavored against within the category that Congress told the states you've got discretion?
The 1622 talks about the states being able to extend benefits to non-immigrants, among others. The COFA residents are a category of non-immigrants, but not all non-immigrants. And so what the state has done is singled out them to deny the benefits.
Or to give lesser benefits or to deny benefits?
I'm sorry?
To give lesser benefits or deny?
To deny the full benefits of the Quest programs. And if I could digress just for a moment, the record reflects that, in fact, there was one set of Quest programs from which the COFA residents were all disenrolled. It wasn't a matter of there being a separate freestanding policy program for the benefit of the COFA residents. They were in the Quest program, they got the Quest benefits, and they were disenrolled, affirmatively disenrolled from that one program.
Well, how did they get their modified benefits? Under another statute?
Under a new statute that they created that we attacked. We said, wait a minute, you know, you have to restore the benefits that were available under Quest.
Thank you.
And who is it gets the Quest benefits that's in this category that Congress says, you state, you have discretion?
It is if you look at the laundry list, Your Honor, what you will find is a variety of qualified aliens and others who Congress says the state may cover. And as Ms. Brewer, I think, acknowledges, some of those people in that laundry list are, in fact, still qualified under Quest. This is in Hawaii Administrative Rule 17-1774. It lays out.
Could I just ask, when you use the word qualified aliens,
yes,
you're not using the term of art, or are you, of qualified aliens that is in the federal statute?
I am using,
who must get benefits.
No, I'm using the list that allows them to go beyond and extend state benefits to others.
Okay, so we're not talking about what is typically known as qualified aliens that automatically are covered.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
These are qualified aliens in the sense that they haven't been disqualified.
Right. They're eligible. They're eligible aliens, maybe, okay, to distinguish them from the qualified.
So what I'm saying is that what we have is the state embarking on its own policy to single out the COFA residents, to say, you in particular, among all the people we could provide benefits to, with Congress's permission, are not going to get help, or not going to get the same help as the other people we're extending benefits to. And the analog to that is found in the Supreme Court's decision in Nyquist, where the state of New York decided that it was going to extend educational benefits to only aliens who were either applied to become citizens or expressed an intention to become citizens. And the Supreme Court said, no, you know, New York, you don't get to draw these distinctions. And what I submit Hawaii has done is drawn an irrational distinction, because alone among this group of aliens for whom there is no federal Medicaid support, there is, in fact, as the record reflects, money paid by the federal government to Hawaii to provide social services to this group.
So it's sort of a you're in for a dime, you're in for a dollar proposition, because what you're saying is there's this discretionary category. And leaving aside the question we asked the counsel for the state about, well, what happens if they did nothing, but once they decide to go that route with the laundry list, then you're saying they can't go kind of half hog, they got to go whole hog. If you're going to give some to these guys, you got to give it to the rest of the people.
That's right, because I suggest that the state cannot single out particular groups of aliens who the federal government has said they may provide benefits to on the basis that they don't like serving or giving full benefits to that particular category.
But either this undoes Congress's scheme, right, or it's sort of a cruel joke on the states. Because Hawaii says, okay, we'll participate in Medicaid because we think this is advantageous for Hawaiians. And the federal government says, yes, and the Medicaid is going to include these immigrants, these aliens. It's going to exclude these aliens, and then there's a third category where we give you the option to do whatever you want. And your argument is, by virtue of the Equal Protection Clause, Hawaii must fund them to the same extent as the federal Medicaid program.
I don't believe you need to go as far as your initial questions to Ms. Brewer would imply, that is, you must provide benefits to everyone, because the question here is where the state has chosen to provide discretionary benefits to some aliens.
Okay.
Can it then single out the COFA residents and say, not you?
This goes back to Ms. Brewer's opening statement, which Judge McEwen jumped on very quickly, which was, could Hawaii have decided not to have funded COFA folks at all? I assume that your answer is no, that would not be acceptable.
I would say no, but you do not need to reach that question in this case.
Oh, it seems to me that it's front and center on.
Well, not necessarily, Your Honor, because the question isn't whether the state must fund every eligible alien, but whether having chosen to provide benefits to some eligible aliens, some discretionary benefits to some eligible aliens, is it then in a position where it can say, we don't particularly like this group of eligible aliens. We don't like the people from this country
If that's true, counsel, then you do buy the state's argument that had they decided not to fund anybody in the discretionary category, they could have done so.
I don't buy that argument. I recognize that is a harder argument. I'm saying is you don't need to reach it.
Okay, let me ask you.
And I can't lose because the answer to that may turn out to be one I don't like.
I was looking at this case that the Ninth Circuit had back in 85, Sudomir,
yeah, sure,
which is cited. And there's some language in there that made me sit up, and so I appreciate your comments on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, as you remember, it's talking about AFDC benefits. And it says, under the federal law, nothing prevents a state from adopting more liberal eligibility benefits. So it then goes on to say, in effect, the plaintiffs argue that because the state refused to adopt these more liberal eligibility, it's really a matter of state, not federal policy. And then the court said, well, we disagree, because if you did that, to so hold would amount to compelling the states to adopt each and every more generous classification, which on its face is not irrational. It seemed to me almost by fortuity, the court was almost foreshadowing the exact situation we have here, which is you don't have to provide benefits, perhaps, but if you do, then you've got to be the same liberal with everybody. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, we disagree, because then it would compel the states to do this. So why isn't that language in Sudomir applicable to your case?
Two reasons, Your Honor. First, the broad language that you cited is undercut and narrowed by the language which appears at Headnote 10, where it describes the fact that the federal policy in that case requires the participating in the middle of the paragraph that begins in the instant case.
Mm-hmm.
It says, thus, the statute apparently requires the state not only to grant benefits to eligible aliens, but also to deny benefits to aliens who do not satisfy the test. And so what you had in Sudomir was the same kind of program you had in Pimentel. The federal government said, you must do this. You must cover these people. You cannot cover these people.
Well, isn't that what happens here? As they said, you must cover qualified aliens. You may not go for the undocumenteds. And then they added a third one.
That's that third category that doesn't exist in Sudomir, which is the ones where the federal government has said, you may cover them. The second reason.
So once they decide to exercise their discretion to cover, is it correct that your position would be they got to cover everybody in that, I don't want to say cats and dogs, but in that laundry list category?
Right.
They have to cover everybody, and the benefits have to be equal to the benefits they gave to the citizens and the other aliens.
Once they choose to provide benefits to some on that laundry list, then they have to go all the way to provide benefits to all on that laundry list.
So it's really almost, if I read that, it's almost like in some, maybe Judge Bybee sort of suggested, perverse way. It's like Congress literally mandated, through discretion, they mandated that they have to, almost.
No, not necessarily. I mean, what Congress – well, all Congress said is you may cover them.
Right, but –
And you're saying you can't break up that group into smaller subparts and decide which ones you're going to cover and which parts you aren't.
Especially where you're deciding based on alien international origin.
Uh-huh.
Because that – they may within that – it may be in another case that if they've decided based on some criterion that is not subject to strict scrutiny, if they've decided that they're that's acceptable. But where they've gone down the road of saying we're going to provide benefits to some eligible aliens, then the State can't say – some eligible in the sense that Congress has given discretion. Then I submit the State can't say – you can't pick and choose among the countries that –
Okay, so let's say they don't pick – let's say our ruling was, you know what, you can't pick and choose among all these people because that is a pure alienage category. But as to how much you might give these individuals, that's something that is part of this uniform policy where you're not mandated to give them, and so you can decide how much. What would be wrong with that?
Well, that leads you right back into Graham, Your Honor, because in Graham you'll remember that the State of Arizona said to aliens, if you're here for 15 years, we'll give you benefits. That I submit is the same thing. If you're here, we'll give you a dollar versus $5. The other part of it is here we have a situation where this is a lifetime ban for the COFA residents,
mm-hmm.
A lifetime ban on equal benefits. The others.
But there you had the State law conflicted with Federal law. I mean, Graham seems different. The principle seems to be appropriate,
mm-hmm.
but it really seems that the structure is different in Graham because State law actually conflicted with overriding Federal immigration policy there, I thought.
Right.
So, well, so I can't quite – maybe you can help me, but it's like Graham doesn't quite get you there.
Right. Well, and Judge Seabright said the same thing. I mean, Graham doesn't quite take us all the way there, and I acknowledge that it probably doesn't. But Graham does get us to a place where at the threshold, every discrimination against aliens by states is subject to strict scrutiny unless there is some uniform federal policy that's being implemented. And where the state is acting in an area unbounded by any federal policy that says, you know, you can't or you must.
Well, so why does a federal policy have to be so explicit? Why isn't it a federal policy that there's some discretion? We've looked, we meaning the federal government, we've looked at all these aliens possibilities, and we in the exercise of our federal authority divided them up into different categories. Mm-hmm. So we have exercised a policy. And the policy isn't a mandatory one with respect to this group. And so we've made that, but it is a uniform policy. It just gives you discretion.
Right.
Why isn't that part of an overriding policy? Because Congress did slice and dice the categories.
Well, but the question then becomes, did Congress, in granting discretion to the states, authorize the states themselves to make their own judgments based on alienage, you can
pick and choose in this middle category.
Right. So that would answer. Let's say they didn't, because they didn't distinguish between all the ABCDs under that. So that would answer part one.
Right.
But then that wouldn't answer part two, which is the level of benefits.
Well, I submit that it does answer the level of benefits, because you then end up with, if under Hawaii's scheme as it stands mm-hmm. now, you have some people who under the Welfare Reform Act, the state has the discretion to extend benefits to, who get the Quest benefits.
Right. But what if you'd say, well, you know, you've got to then go, everybody gets Quest or everybody gets the COFA? I mean,
right.
But it has to be the same, because you can't, along Judge Clifton's lines, you can't distinguish between A and C and D and E.
Right, because then what, in effect what you're allowing the state to do is implement its own view of immigration policy. You're allowing the state to say, gee, you know, these people we're going to give the Quest benefits to because we don't have any hard feelings toward those countries.
Mm-hmm.
But the COFA countries we don't particularly like because they're putting a burden on us, so we're going to give them lesser benefits in hopes of, I suppose, in discouraging them from coming to Hawaii. And we're going to do that not because we don't get any support from the federal government, but we don't get enough support from the federal government. Mm-hmm. Because the people who are getting the Quest benefits were funding 100% with state money, the people who were in the discretionary class.
Mm-hmm.
The others, the COFA people, they're going to get lesser benefits, notwithstanding the fact that federal policy is reflected in the fact that the federal government is giving Hawaii money to provide benefits, but it's not enough money. And so we're going to drive their benefits down, basically using them in a game of chicken with the federal government.
I noticed that you have a state constitutional claim here, and you asked for a declaratory judgment under the Hawaii Constitution. And I don't know if there are provisions of the Hawaii Constitution or interpretations, for example, within equal protection that might be different. Mm-hmm. So one question is, should we send this to the Hawaii Supreme Court and let them take the first crack under the Hawaii Constitution?
Perhaps, Your Honor. The Hawaii Supreme Court has, as Judge Clifton knows best, on many occasions staked out a separate course for the Hawaii courts under constitutional protections. I don't know of anything particular in the Hawaii case law that would say in this instance there would be better protection. But the point you raise is an important one for another reason as well. And that is, you know, we are here on a preliminary injunction motion appeal. And the facts haven't been fully developed. And the facts will help, I submit, inform the law ultimately if this case were to go to trial. And I believe that if you find that we haven't shown enough in any factual respect, then the appropriate course would be to remand back to the district court and or refer to the case to the Hawaii Supreme Court. Because upon further factual development, I think what we would be able to show, for example, is that Hawaii has done what I've suggested, and that is isolated a particular group, a particular subgroup of the people it has the discretion to serve.
That's something I want to focus on, because I had trouble identifying from the record that we have now who it is we're talking about that's been favored.
Okay.
So is there anything in the record that we have now that would better identify what that category is?
Yes, Your Honor. I think a couple of things. We know that under the rules for the Better Health Hawaii, the people served by that program are the COFA residents and the so-called new residents, people who have been in the country for 5 years, less than 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So once they get to be five, then they go over to the other category.
Right. Okay. They get the better benefits.
Yeah.
So you
so
have
they, those guys, would you call the low-end recipients?
I'm sorry.
Low-end, money-wise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you have in the inferior program, you have the COFA residents and for a period of time, the new residents. Only the COFA residents stay in the low.
So one category is the post-5-year residency category.
Right.
They're still in the category defined by Congress as up to the state's discretion, but they are under the Quest program, not Better Health Hawaii. Is that correct?
They shift to the other program after 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others. In the administrative rules governing the Quest program, there are, in two sections, laundry lists of people who are entitled to participate in Quest. They include people who are in the discretionary category under 8 U.S.C. 1622.
Could you say who?
Could I say who, Your Honor?
I don't mean their names. I mean their category.
You know, off the top of my head, Your Honor.
Well, maybe what I could ask, because I don't want you to take the argument time, is afterwards the clerk has, you know, pieces of paper and you can add that, or you could just send us a letter just so we understand that we're dealing with the right categories.
Yes, there are 13 or 14 different categories, Your Honor, so I would have to go.
Okay, that's fine. So why don't you do that after argument? You can send us a letter to tell us if you would call those people in the high-end category of the discretionary recipients?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that all right?
More questions?
Fine.
All right. Thank you.
We've made you work overtime.
We've made you work a little extra, so.
Free to do it. Thank you.
We'd spend a little more extra time, and so I'm going to give the State 4 minutes for rebuttal total so that you'll have some additional time.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to address some of the things that counsel mentioned. The first is a question came up about the Hawaii constitutional claim, and my understanding is that the claim under the Hawaii Constitution was withdrawn, so I don't know that that is actually still on the table.
Withdrawn or not part of the basis for the preliminary injunction?
I believe it was withdrawn from the lawsuit. With respect to this laundry list of other aliens that may...
Would you confirm that with us after...
Sure.
Arguments, send us a notice to where we would find that in the record, just so we know the answer to that question.
I can confirm that in the First Amendment complaint, there were only the federal claims.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Saved her some work.
Thank you. And then counsel spoke about a laundry list of optional aliens that are included in Quest. And I can also take a look at the same issue and confirm for the court whether that is the case. My understanding...
One potential group identified, which are the new residents after they're new, I mean, after 5 years. Are they...
Well, new residents after 5 years aren't optional. At that point, they are no longer excluded by the Welfare Reform Act from Medicaid.
So they move... That's not discrimination within this middle category. They fall under the part that Congress says must be... treated like citizens.
Yes. But with respect to any of these other aliens, my understanding is if there are any aliens, and there are some, there are certain categories of aliens that the Welfare Reform Act says that the state must cover, even in the sections where they say, for instance, qualified aliens are not eligible for federal public benefits, except, and then they list, and usually those are refugees, asylees, veterans.
No, we're not talking about those. We're talking about, I think, people who are qualified as or classified as non-immigrants. So the question is, are there aliens who fall in this non-immigrant category, other than the COFA people and the less than 5 year people, to whom the state of Hawaii is giving discretionary benefits but at a higher level than the COFA group?
Okay, that I would have to check. My understanding from counsel's statements was that these were aliens who would otherwise be federally ineligible. And so I'm not exactly sure which categories he's referring to, because if they are not federally eligible, they're not going to get into Quest.
Well, you're actually prohibited.
Yes.
We're talking
about Medicaid eligibility. And the only what the state did was they did include or use their existing Medicaid structure, as I mentioned in the briefs, just as Washington did with their federal food stamp structure, is that even though there was a separate state-funded benefit provided for these federally ineligible aliens, they delivered it through their existing federal program infrastructure. That's probably more of a matter of efficiency than anything else.
We have people that are congressionally mandated to be covered by Medicaid. We have people that... aliens that Congress has forbidden to be covered by any state program or by Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this third group, and the COFA folks fall in there. Who else is in that group besides COFA?
Well, the COFA folks are not actually in the optional coverage for Medicaid.
Right. There's a third category in which that are not eligible for Medicaid, and they're not disqualified from participating in any state program, because we do have a group of aliens that the states may
yes.
not fund even if they wish to.
Yes.
Okay? We have this third group that Congress has given you the option.
Yes.
And Hawaii is, and the COFA folks fall in that group, and Hawaii has chosen to fund them.
Yes.
Who else might Hawaii have included in that group aside from the COFA?
Well, they have included the qualified aliens
under five years. Okay.
Yes.
Is there anybody else, or does that exhaust the set?
That I'm not sure.
And the second part of that, and I guess we're asking both sides to shed some light afterwards, I'm particularly concerned of whether there's anybody in that group that is advantaged as compared to these plaintiffs? That is there anybody in this middle group, third group, whatever we're calling it, where Congress has told the states, you have discretion, federal government's not paying, but you state, you can pony up the money yourself and pay them. Is there anybody in that group that's doing better than the COFA plaintiffs? Allowed to be part of Quest or in some other fashion?
Right. My understanding, no.
Okay, well, why don't we do this? Your time has expired, yes. But so everybody's operating off the same page is, and it may take a little time, so we'll give you 10 days for each side to submit a letter to advise as to which groups are covered by this third optional category, which ones Hawaii has chosen to cover and under what program, and whether there's any differential in the benefits between and among this third category of aliens. And presumably you can do that by letter, no more than 5 to 7 pages. We don't want another brief, and we don't want additional argument. We're really looking to answer these specific questions. Perfect. Thank you very much. Appreciate the collegiality. The case just argued is submitted, and we thank both counsel for both your briefing and your argument. It's an interesting case. It's a complicated case. Thank you for coming today. Thank you.